بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين، وعلى جميع إخوانه من النبيين والمرسلين وآل كل وصحب كل ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. All praise is due to Allah, and may Allah raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and protect his nation from that which he fears for them. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, let us first have the proper intention in our hearts to attend the lesson for the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our topic for tonight's lesson is about our beloved Prophet Isa alayhi salam. All the prophets of Allah are beloved to us. We love all of them. We respect all of them. We dignify all of them. We believe in all of them, from Adam till Muhammad, peace be upon them. For the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them as a mercy to the slaves. Because a person on his own is unable to know the matters that, if done, will save one from the torture of the hereafter. So by sending the prophets to the slaves, there is a great wisdom, and it's a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were all sent to teach people the correct and acceptable way of worshipping Allah, the Creator of the prophets and the rest of the creations. So all of them, from Adam until Muhammad, peace be upon them, came with one creed, one belief. They all taught people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, does not resemble the creations. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a body. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not a volume or shape or mass or quantity. As all these are creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. Allah created everything in a certain quantity and certain volume and amount. You see a creation that has a small mass, weight, and a creation that has a big mass. A creation that has a small volume and a creation that has a big volume. Volumes are created by Allah, shapes are created by Allah, quantities are created by Allah. So Allah does not resemble any of the creations in any way whatsoever. So all the prophets came with this belief, came with this creed, that the Creator does not resemble the creations. This is a belief of all the prophets. All the prophets as well taught people that they will be resurrected on Judgment Day, and they will be judged as to whether or not they have fulfilled the obligations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon them. And none of the prophets taught his people what contradicts the belief in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the Creator is one, there is only one Creator for this whole universe, and that is Allah. All the prophets and messengers are sent by Allah Azza wa Jal to deliver the message from Allah. So they all delivered one message regarding the oneness of Allah. So regarding the matters of the belief, they all came with one message. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. The best of what I have said, as well as the previous Prophet said, is that no one is God except Allah. So all the Prophets said that statement, no one is God except Allah. They all came with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in the oneness of Allah azza wa jal. All came with this belief. There's no difference between a prophet and another in regards of the matters of the belief. Because all of them told the people about the matters of the hereafter. So it never happened that a prophet has approached his people telling them that there is hereafter and one said there is no hereafter. Doesn't make sense. They're all sent by Allah Azza wa Jal. So the message of the creed is one. They all came with that message about the proper belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no need for the matters of belief to change from one era to another. So from Adam up to now, the believers believe in the hereafter. There is no need to change that belief. So the belief remained the same across all the prophets. But what is needed to be changed along the eras? The matters of the rulings. For instance, at the time of Prophet Adam alayhi salam, on earth there was only Adam and Eve, Hawa, husband and wife. She fell pregnant 40 times. She delivered 79 children for Adam. The last pregnancy carried one child, and that was Prophet Sheth alayhi salam. So 79 in total. Now all of them brothers and sisters. In every pregnancy she used to carry twins, a male and a female. But still they are brothers and sisters. For a wisdom, so mankind can reproduce, Allah allowed in the Sharia, in the rules revealed to Prophet Adam, for one to marry his sister, but from different pregnancy. Not his twin sister, from different pregnancy. So they started marrying in that way. It's like cross-marrying, you know, one pregnancy, the other pregnancy, the male here would marry the female here, and the female here would marry the male here. So they reproduced. Until the time when Adam died, after he lived more than 1,000 years on earth, he saw 40,000 of his offspring. From that type of marriage, a brother and sister in that way, and they having children, the children getting married as well, and so on, by the time Adam died, he had 40,000 of his offspring. So when he died, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Sheth, that was his last son in the last pregnancy, prophethood. Allah revealed to Prophet Sheth alayhi salam that it's no longer permissible for one to marry his sister, even if she is from different pregnancy, because there is no need now. So that makes sense why the law changed, why the rule changed for a wisdom. Now there is no need for a brother to marry his sister. It became forbidden. Matters like this would differ between a prophet and another based on the interests of the slaves at that time. From the time of Prophet Adam till the children of Israel, they used to pray one prayer throughout day and night. Then Allah ordained upon the children of Israel two prayers throughout day and night. Then Allah revealed upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam five prayers throughout day and night. That rule changed. They used to fast, as we do, but not the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is something specific for this nation. In the previous nations, they were only allowed to pray in specific places. So although now you might start thinking about one prayer or two prayers, you might think that it's easy, but compared to the fact that they had to pray them only in specific places, in mosques, you find that the five prayers we pray now are easier from that perspective, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَجُعِلَتْ لِيَ الْأَرْضُ مَسْجِدًا فَأَيُّمَا رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَدْرَكَتْهُ الصَّلَاةَ فَلْيُصَلِّ. So that's one of the differences between the law revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the law revealed to previous messengers. Because they were ordered to pray only in the mosques. So even if they are working in the fields and the farms and the like, and it's a time for the prayer, they have to leave everything and go to the mosque and pray there. But as for the laws revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is permissible in this Sharia to pray anywhere, as long as it's on a pure spot, with the rest of the conditions. So it doesn't have to be prayed inside the mosque. But although it is preferred to be prayed inside the mosque, but it's not a personal obligation upon every single one of this nation to pray in the mosque the five prayers. Then you find that these five prayers, from that perspective, are easier than the one or two prayers they used to pray in the past. In the previous nations, they didn't have what we call now dry purification. If one doesn't have water, or he cannot use water for certain reasons, he would make the dry purification, that is called tayammum. Would strike dusty soil twice. With the first one he wipes his face, with the second one he wipes his hands, up to and including the elbows. This is called tayammum, with the intention. Dry purification. In the previous nations, they didn't have this. They had only wudu. If they don't have water, they don't pray. They wait until they find water, so they can make wudu. It was narrated that when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam went to Egypt with his wife Sarah, they performed wudu before they entered that land. So they had wudu. They used to perform wudu as we do. However, there is something specific for this nation, which is called al-ghurr wa tahjil. What is al-ghurr wa tahjil? You know how some horses have a white patch on their forehead? It's a white patch. He might be whole black. Then you see a white patch here. Then you see as well white patch on its legs, on the joint, above the joint. This is called al-ghurr wa tahjil. There is something specific for this nation, which is when we perform wudu, if we add around our faces, when we wash the face, we add around it. And when we wash the hands and feet, we go a bit extra beyond the elbow and beyond the ankles. These spots will be illuminated on the day of judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be able to identify his nation with that sign. He would look at someone and sees this part illuminated around his face and above his elbows and above his ankles. the Prophet straight away knows this person is from his nation. So this is something specific for this nation. But wudu, they used to make wudu as well. In the previous nations, they didn't have the facility of cleaning the piece of garment that gets contaminated with urine, with water. They had to cut out the contaminated area from that piece of garment. They didn't have the option of washing it with water. And this is something facilitated for this nation. Also, those who disobeyed Prophet Moses alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbade them from eating the fat of the camels and the like. Then when Prophet Isa alayhi salam received the revelation, he told them that I've brought to you new laws. وَلِأُحِلَّ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي حُرِّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ, to make permissible some of the matters that were forbidden upon you. And this is one of them that became allowed. So you can see the changes in the laws between one prophet and another, one messenger and another, from the time of Adam up to our time, the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is for a wisdom. Because the era, the time needs that change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that change by His wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah knows about our interests more than what we know about these interests ourselves. That's why always keep in mind, if there is something ordained as an obligation upon you, remember it's good for you to do it. If there is something that is deemed forbidden upon you, remember, it's not good for you. And you know how every now and then they try to deduce the wisdom why this is forbidden. And you hear every now and then that they discovered how drinking alcohol will destroy the stomach, will cause stomach ulcer and the like. They discover that why eating pork, ham, bacon and the like, those extracts from the pig are harmful to one's body. They discover things. Fornication and adultery are both forbidden in our religion. When they started having the HIV disease, they started talking about all these matters. They knew that these matters, fornication and adultery, are the reason for this disease. The one who is away from this won't have that disease. So they started realizing why this is forbidden, and they discovered not every single wisdom behind each forbidden matter, but they discovered many. They discovered many. We as believers must surrender to the religion of Allah, whether or not we know the wisdom behind every single matter. If you want to be safe, you have to surrender. Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, may Allah raise his rank, said, وَلَا تَثْبُتُ قَدَمٌ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ ظَهْرِ التَّسْلِيمِ وَالْإِسْتِسْلَامِ. If you want to remain steadfast on the path of Islam, then you must surrender to the religion of Islam. You must know that any forbidden matter is forbidden for a wisdom. So whether or not you know that wisdom, you stay away from it because it is forbidden. Because Allah, the one who knows everything about His creations, ordained or deemed that matter as forbidden. So one would stay away from it, won't come near it. So if you want to be safe, you want to remain steadfast on the path of Islam, think about surrendering to the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not object. Do not question. Do not say why and why in a way of objection to Allah's will and Allah's decree. Because objecting to Allah is blasphemy. And whoever objects to Allah blasphemes. And the first one who committed this type of blasphemy was Iblis, Satan. When Allah ordered him to prostrate to Adam out of salutation and glorification, he objected to Allah. He said, why should I prostrate to Adam and I'm better than him? I'm created from the pure flame of fire and he's created from clay. So he objected to Allah's order and he committed blasphemy, and for that reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banished him out of paradise. So objecting to Allah is blasphemous. For the one to be safe on the path of Islam, he must leave objection to Allah's will and Allah's decree. And he must accept whatever came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and was conveyed by the prophets. So as you can see, through the eras, based on the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of the rules changed from one era to another, according to the interests of the slaves at that time. But for the belief, there is no need for the belief to change. That's why the belief remained the same. All the prophets came with one belief. Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu anhu narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Anbiya ikhwatun li'allat, dinuhum wahid wa ummahatuhum shatta, wa ana awla an-nasi bi'Isa ibn Maryam, laysa bayni wa baynahu nabiy. Al-Anbiya ikhwatun li'allat. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew an analogy between the brothers from the same father but different mothers and the prophets. He made that comparison. He likened, he drew the analogy between the prophets and the brothers from the same father but different mothers. Now those brothers that have the father in common between them, they share the same father, but they have different mothers. Those are called in Arabic, إِخْوَ لِعَلَّاتِ, sharing one father, same father, different mothers. The Prophet said, دِينُهُمْ wahid. So that's the reason for this analogy. دِينُهُمْ wahid, meaning as the brothers who share the same father have one father, the prophets have one religion, which is al-Islam. دِينُهُمْ wahid, وَهُوَ al-Islam. وَأُمَّهَاتُهُمْ شَتَّى, they have different mothers, meaning the rules that were revealed to them differed from one to another. As you can see in the introduction we mentioned today, some of the rules changed. The rules revealed to them changed. They had difference in the rules, but in the religion, in the creed, in the belief, it's one. So one belief, one creed for all the prophets. But the difference between one prophet and another lies in the set of laws we call Sharia. As we mentioned, that some in the previous nations, they used to pray two prayers throughout day and night. In this nation, we pray five. In some nations, they used to pay a quarter of their money as zakah. A quarter, 25% as zakah. Now we pay 2.5%, and some are not paying. In some nations in the past, they used to pay 25% as zakah of their money. So the rules differed from one messenger to another, but the belief remained the same. There is no need for the belief to change, because the belief will remain the same about the angels, about the day for judgment, believing in Allah and His attributes, This is not going to change. Because Allah does not change. Allah changes the creations, but Allah does not change. The attributes of Allah do not change. The will of Allah does not change. The power of Allah does not change. The knowledge of Allah does not change. It doesn't increase or decrease. Allah knows what happened and what's happening and what's not happening and what's going to happen. And what is not happening, had it happened, how it's going to happen, Allah knows about all that. The knowledge of Allah does not change. All the attributes of Allah do not change. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of this whole universe, does not change. So the belief of all the prophets remained the same. But the difference is in the rules of the Sharia. Rules of the religion we call Sharia. In these matters, yes, they had some differences. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "And I'm the most deserving of Isa, Jesus alayhi salam, the son of Mary. There is no prophet between me and him." The last prophet before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Prophet Isa, Jesus. Between them is about 600 years. And that explains to you why we have, for instance, now in the Hijri calendar 1438, and they have 2016. So the difference is roughly 600 years. So that's nearly, it's not precise, it is close. It's about 600 years between Prophet Isa and Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Prophet Isa alayhi salam to be the last prophet before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For a wisdom. He is one of the ulul azm amongst the messengers of Allah. Ulul azm, the highly ranked prophets. Now every prophet, even with the minimum rank amongst the prophets, is better than the rest of the creations, because he's a prophet. So prophets come in the first category of the creations. The first category. Then in the second category, you have the archangels, like Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, Azrael. Those come in the second category. Then the highly ranked righteous amongst the human beings, like Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, those come after. Then the rest of the angels, because they are all righteous. Then the rest of the righteous Muslims. These are the categories of these creations. So the prophets are the best. Allah said, وَكُلَّا فَضَّلْنَا عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Each one of them, we made better than the rest of the creations. But not all the prophets are in the same rank. Now we believe in all of them. We respect all of them. We glorify all of them. But are they in the same rank? No. There are prophets who are better than other prophets. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. تِلْكَ الرُّسُلْ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. Allah chose some over others from the prophets, from the messengers. And even some of them, Allah enabled them to hear the kalam of Allah that does not resemble the kalam of the creations. That is not a language. It's not made up of letters, sounds. So it's not the way we speak with each other, because we speak a language, either Arabic or English or any other language, and we use the tongue. We need these vocals for the letters to be pronounced from, and so on. This is how we talk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His kalam is His eternal and everlasting attribute. It does not resemble the kalam of the creations. It doesn't start and end. Because all the attributes of Allah are eternal and everlasting. Do not have a beginning and do not have an end. This is how they are, the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at the words that we talk, the letters we utter with. We start, then we finish. So it's very obvious to any sane person that any language has a beginning and has an end when uttered with that language. Plus, all these languages are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Arabic is created by Allah. The English is created by Allah. All the languages are created by Allah azza wa jal. So Allah's kalam, some might refer to as speech, does not resemble the kalam of the creations. Only Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam were enabled to hear the kalam of Allah that does not resemble the kalam of the creations. So out of all the prophets, only two. So Allah said, تِلْكَ الرُّسُلُ فَضَّلْنَا بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ كَلَّمَ اللَّهِ. Some heard the kalam of Allah that does not resemble the kalam of the creations. وَرَفَعَ بَعْضَهُمْ دَرَجَاتٍ. So they are in ranks, in levels. The best of the prophets are five. The best of the prophets and messengers are five: Muhammad, Ibrahim, Musa, Isa, and Nuh. Those are called Ulul Azam, those with the highest strength. And those were inflicted in their lives more than other prophets as well. Ulul Azam, these five messengers. The best of these five is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, خِيَارُ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ خَمْسَ Muhammad wa Ibrahim wa Musa wa Isa wa Nuh wa خِيَارُ الْخَمْسَ Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the best messengers are five, and the best of the best is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We thank Allah for making us amongst his nation. Adam was created without a father and without a mother. That doesn't make him God or son of God. Allah created Hawa from Adam. Eve was created from Adam. So no father, no mother. That doesn't make her God or daughter of God. The first animal created didn't have a father or a mother. That doesn't make this animal God. Prophet Salih alayhi salam, his people said to him, if you are truly a messenger of Allah, bring us from this hard solid rock a female camel and its son from the rock. Prophet Salih supplicated Allah Azza wa Jal, and from that solid rock, it's not hollow, so it's solid, from that solid rock came out a female camel with its baby. From the rock. So no father, no mother. That doesn't make this camel God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all powerful. He created some humans without having a father. Some humans without having a father or a mother. And so on. So Prophet Isa alayhi salam is the last prophet before Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only about 600 years between them. Allah Ta'ala is all-powerful. That doesn't make Isa alayhi salam, because he's born from a mother, Mary alayhi salam, but without a father, that doesn't make him God. Plus, simply one would say, they say the birth of Jesus, birth of Jesus. So that means he was born. They say the birth of Jesus. How can he be God? So who created the world? Who created people before him? Who created his mother? Who gave birth to him? So he can't be God. So he's not God, simply for that reason. Maryam, or Mary in English, the mother of Prophet Isa alayhi salam, was a pious Muslim woman from the offspring of Israel. Israel is another name for Prophet Jacob. Prophet Jacob is called Israel as well. That's why all his offspring, they call them the children of Israel. So she came from that lineage, from the children of Israel. We mentioned before when we talked about the lineage of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you can remember, that his lineage goes back to what prophet? Ismail alayhi salam, the son of Ibrahim. The other son of Prophet Ibrahim is Ishaq. Ishaq is the father of Jacob. Jacob is called Israel, and all the prophets and the offspring that came from Jacob, they call them the children of Israel. They came from that lineage. From the other lineage, Ismail alayhi salam, only one prophet came, and that is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she was a pious Muslim, and she was at the time of Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. Also, Prophet Zakaria was a prophet of Allah, and he conveyed to people to follow the Sharia of Prophet Musa alayhi salam, Moses. So they used to act upon the Torah that was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to Mary in the Quran as the daughter of Imran. The daughter of Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned in the Quran that Maryam held, and she's still holding, the highest status amongst all women. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran about Maryam alayha salam, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah chose Mary over the rest of the women. So there is no mother that is better than Mary. There is no woman that is better than Mary. She is the best of all women, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. Maryam's mother conceived and delivered Maryam when she was at an advanced age, when women usually cannot fall pregnant. So she longed for having a baby herself. She made supplication to Allah Azza wa Jal to grant her a baby, a child. And she made a vow that had she be granted a child, she would dedicate him to be a servant for Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Because she was hoping that she might be granted a baby boy. So then he will remain inside the mosque, serving the mosque, Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered her supplication and she became pregnant despite her old age. However, she gave birth to a baby girl instead. She named her Maryam, and she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect her and her offspring from evil. And since Maryam's father had died, people wanted to see under whose custody she would be. They came, then they agreed to make a draw. Let's make a draw and see. They made the draw for the first time, and the name of Prophet Zakaria came up. They said, we'll do it again. They did the draw for the second time, and the name of Prophet Zakaria came up as well. So Prophet Zakaria took Maryam in his custody, and he raised her on piety, on righteousness, on purity. So she was raised as righteous and pious, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and dedicating her time to worshipping Allah azza wa jalla. And before the age of 14, look at the difference now, before she even reached the age of 14, she became a righteous Muslim. Waliyah at that age, before even she completed 14, before she turned 14, she became a righteous Muslim. And with, of course, a very special and high status. May Allah raise her rank. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her the best woman ever would exist on earth. So there is no woman that is better than Lady Maryam alayha salam. Now how she fell pregnant with Prophet Isa alayhi salam, Ibn Jarir and others narrated that one day Maryam ran out of water. So she asked her cousin Joseph the carpenter. He was known as Joseph the carpenter. She asked him if he can go with her on that day. Then he declined, saying that I had enough for the day. So he's not going to go back and get more water. He got what he needed for that day. So she left him. As she was searching for water, she saw Angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Now, let us remember that the angels are not males nor females. They do not reproduce. They do not get married. They're not like us. They are distinct creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if they were to come in the shape of a human being, they come in the shape of males, that's the outer shape, without the private parts and the inner parts. Only the outer shape would seem as a male. So she saw him, and she thought he's a male. And because obviously she doesn't know him, and she was by herself, she became frightened. And she sought refuge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, had this person that she saw been an evil person who might inflict harm on her. So she asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuge from him. But the surprise was that Angel Jibreel alayhi salam told her that I'm not here to inflict any harm on you. I'm the messenger of Allah to you. And I was sent to give you a pious child who is pure of sins. Now looking at the fact that she wasn't married and she wasn't a fornicator. She said, while being astonished about these news, how could I have a child and I'm not married and I'm not a fornicator? Then Jibreel said to her, creating a son without a father is an easy matter for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that Allah will make him for the people a sign of the power of Allah. A child from a mother without a father. And that he will send him as a mercy from him and an endowment to the one who follows him and believes in him. And he told her that creating him is a matter that Allah willed and destined, so it will not be blocked or changed. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَاذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا قَالَتْ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِالرَّحْمَنِ مِنْكَ إِنْ كُنْتَ تَقِيًّا قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين ولنجعله آية للناس ورحمة منا وكان أمرا مقضيا. Upon hearing this, she knew that this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed and predestined, and it will never change. So she surrendered to the destining of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jibreel alayhi salam blew the soul of Isa alayhi salam into Maryam, and the soul went into the womb, and that when she fell pregnant with him. So Isa alayhi salam is not a human being that is born from a mixture of both seminal liquid, as is the customary way. No, it's in a different way. She fell pregnant without being a nutfa. You know, the nutfa. Nutfa is a mixture of both seminal liquid. So he was formed in her womb without being a nutfa. This is something exceptional that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for Mary to have in that way. So she fell pregnant with Prophet Isa alayhi salam. Now regarding the term of her pregnancy, there are many sayings and opinions. Some of the scholars said it was 9 months, and that is, many scholars said that. Some said it's less. But anyway, many scholars said it was the normal period of pregnancy, so 9 months. Then what happened when the signs of pregnancy became apparent on her? Her cousin, Joseph the carpenter, was disturbed. And he did not know how to interpret this manner. On one side, he knows that she is pious, she is righteous, so she won't commit fornication. On the other side, he cannot find any justification for her pregnancy. How can she get pregnant? At the same time, she is pious, she's not married, she's not a fornicator. So he was hesitant to approach her and talk to her about this matter. Until one day, he had the courage to ask her, but indirectly. He said to her, Mary, tell me, would plants grow without seeds? Would trees grow without rainfall? Would there be a child without a male? To all these questions, Maryam said, yes. Then she asked him, did you know that Allah made the plants emerge without seeds on the day He created them? The first plants created, they weren't seeds. Then she said, did you know that Allah created the trees the first time without rain? Did you not know that Allah created Adam and Hawa without a father or a mother? So that's the answer from Mary alayhi salam. Then Yusuf knew all these things, and when she responded in that way, he felt assured of her innocence and that this is something special given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to her. Then when the signs of pregnancy became apparent, Maryam went away from her people. The pain led her to the trunk of a dead palm tree. She sat there, and out of her shyness from the people and fearing that they would accuse her of having done an ugly act, she wished she was dead and not a trace could be found of her. It's not easy. Now, how can she confront her people with a child? She was raised on piety and righteousness by Prophet Zakaria. She used to be in the mosque most of the time, and she won't leave the mosque unless she has an Islamic excuse where she can't stay in the mosque. So how can she confront them with this fact that she's having a child? That wasn't easy on her. Now, upon wishing that she was dead and not a trace could be found of her, Jibreel, who was at the bottom of the valley, called her. And he comforted her by telling her, don't worry. Allah created for you a small river running beside you. And had you shaken that dead palm tree, fresh moist dates would fall on you. And he told her to eat from the dates and to drink from that water. A dead palm tree, you know, it's not easy to shake it. You cannot shake it. Usually a normal person cannot shake a dead palm tree. But once she touches that dead palm tree, it turns green. And moist, fresh dates would fall on her. So she can eat and she can drink from that small river. Then he told her that once you give birth and you take the child to your people, tell them that you have made a vow not to talk to people for that day. In the past, it was permissible and valid for one to make a vow not to talk for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days. It was valid. As we mentioned, Prophet Zakaria alayhi salam as well, when he supplicated Allah to grant him a child, and he was old at that time, and his wife was old as well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that he will have Yahya. And Yahya is cousin to Isa alayhi salam. Then he exclaimed, how could I have a child at this age? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that before I created you, you were nothing. So Allah brought him from non-existence into existence. So for your wife to get pregnant at this age, that's not hard for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he asked, what should I do? Allah revealed to him that he would not talk to people for 3 days. And this is what he did. Now with Maryam alayhi salam, Jibreel told her to tell him. So she told him before, I will fast from talking for 1 day. And when he became 40 days of age, she brought him and she came to her people with a child. Now this is the moment she was expecting, to confront her people with a child. As she expected, once they saw her, they started accusing her of fornication. And they used harsh words. They said to her, Ya Ukhta Harun. Now she wasn't the sister of Harun in reality, but they mean sister in purity. Ya Ukhta Harun. This is called insinuation in English. And as if they saying, O sister of the pure one. Meaning you should be pure. Ya Ukhta Harun. Ma kana abuki imra'a saw. Your father wasn't a bad person. وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّا. And your mother wasn't an adulteress. So they started accusing her of committing fornication. And she wasn't replying. And they kept on going. When she felt that they're not going to stop, she pointed to her son. 40 days of age. As if she's telling them, talk to him, don't talk to me. You want to find the truth? Talk to him. They thought she is mocking them. They said, how could we talk to a child who is still in the cradle? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Prophet Isa alayhi salam to talk. And the first words that he said were what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran. فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ قَالُوا كَيْفَ نُكَلِّمُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَهْدِ صَبِيًّا قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ آتَانِيَ الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلَنِي نَبِيًّا وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ وَأَوْصَانِي بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ مَا دُمْتُ حَيًّا وَبَرًّا بِوَالِدَتِي وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْنِي جَبَّارًا شَقِيًّا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ وَيَوْمَ أَمُوتُ وَيَوْمَ أُبْعَثُ حَيًّا. So these were the first words Prophet Isa alayhi salam talked. He said, Inni Abdullah. So the first word he uttered with, I am the slave of Allah. He didn't say, I am Allah. He didn't say, I am God or son of God. He said, I'm the slave of God. Inni Abdullah. I am the slave of Allah. Atani al-kitab, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reveal to him the book and will make me a prophet. And Allah blessed me wherever I am. Wherever he goes, he is blessed. He benefits people. And in the rules revealed to me, there will be a special attention given to prayers and zakah. And Allah has predestined that I will be kind to my mother and not a tyrant with a bad ending. Peace was on me the day I was born. Peace will be on me on the day I will die and on the day I will be resurrected. Now after saying these words, Prophet Isa alayhi salam didn't say any other word until he reached the age where children usually start talking. But that was after his birth. Prophet Isa alayhi salam was sent to the school at that time, known as Al-Kuttab, where they used to have, in the basic way, they call it like a school in that time, someone who memorized the Torah that was revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam, would sit and he would say, and the children will repeat. So he learned in that school how to write and read. He reached a stage where he was able to read and write the Syriac language. And that was the language used at that time, the Syriac language. They call it As-Suryaniya in Arabic. People in Palestine at that time, they used to talk that language. It's one of the old languages. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him for prophethood, and Allah revealed the Evangel, Al-Injil, to him in the Syriac language. In the Injil, the Evangel, there was some of the change in the rules revealed to Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Not too many rules, but some of the rules have changed. As we mentioned, we gave one example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him prophethood when he was around 30 years of age. Then Prophet Isa alayhi salam, like all the prophets, started conveying the religion to people, telling them to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not to associate partners with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him many miracles, as all the prophets, to show that he is truthful, that he is truly sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Prophet Isa alayhi salam was able, by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal, to cure the one who was born blind and the one inflicted with vitiligo disease. Vitiligo disease, the white, ugly spots that might appear on one's body. He would just wipe on him and he would be cured. The one who is born blind, he would wipe on his face and cast his hand over his face and he will be able to see. And the one also born or is unable to talk, mute, also by supplicating Allah Azza wa Jal, he will be able to talk. So these were some of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported Prophet Isa with. Also Allah supported him with a miracle that is bizarre as well, which is reviving the dead. Reviving the dead. It was narrated that one day they were carrying a king to the graveyard to bury him. So he was in the coffin, carried by people to the graveyard to be buried. As they passed by Prophet Isa alayhi salam, he supplicated Allah and the king came back to life. He made another supplication for a child who was taken as well to be buried, and he was brought back to life and he ran back home. Allah supported him with all these miracles. Some believed him and followed him, and some, despite all these miracles, they chose not to follow him and not to believe in him. They even requested many things. As mentioned in the Quran, they saw all these miracles, how the one born blind, so usually it is classified as hopeless case, to be cured. He used to cure the one born blind, the one inflicted with vitiligo disease, the one inflicted with muteness. He would cure them. And he would revive the dead as well by the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he used to make bats from clay. He would sculpt bats from clay. Then by the power of Allah, they become alive. They fly away until they become beyond the eyesight. They fall down dead. They saw all that. Many did not embrace Islam. Subhanallah. Even they requested, as Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, to bring down on them
what is called something like banquet.
Food. And they complained that the food is not enough. He supplicated Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought to them several types of food, bread and the like, on a piece of material. They started eating from the food without that food finishing. Hundreds and hundreds ate from that food. Until, subhanallah, they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this was lifted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us steadfast on the path of Islam and make our end as pious and righteous Muslims. Ameen. And Allah knows best. We say La ilaha illallah 3 times.